Every hand, that's awesome. You'll notice that there also on the Lord's Supper table are two little bottles, baby bottles, and Miss Diane is going to share with us about those bottles. Use that microphone if you want, Ray.
There's a tub of these back in the back, and what we want you to do is take one of these. They're a little bank. It has a little slit for you to put money in, and keep these at home and put money in it from now until Father's Day. Bring it back on Father's Day. And these have come from the pregnancy center. I've had the privilege of being able to volunteer there and have seen firsthand a lot of really amazing things that have happened that I could tell you, but I'm not going to take all Bryce's time. But anyway, it's very worthwhile cause. One of the criticisms I hear people who are pro-choice say is that, oh yeah, all you pro-lifers, you want these ladies to have the babies, but you don't care about them once they're born. And that's not true. We have at the pregnancy center, it's called the Elmer County First Choice Women's Medical Clinic. But there's tons of programs, and they follow these women from pregnancy on through. We have ladies and husbands that come in, and they can shop at the store that we have there. And they get education, they watch videos, they do worksheets, they have Bible studies, they have support for the fathers, and on up through the teenage years. So it's not just about being pregnant, and it's not just when they're babies. So this is a very worthwhile thing, so please consider taking their in the back, take one home, fill it up, bring it back Father's Day. Thanks.
Thank you, baby. That's awesome. So this is something we can do to help support the our local pregnancy center. You know, today kind of is the official 20. It was Mother's Day of 1999 that I think that was the day they voted for me to be their their full time but bivocational. If that makes sense. You know, I filled in for several weeks or several months up until then, and then they asked me to be there, I guess, interim. But it started on Mother's Day of 1999, which obviously today would be 25 years. And so I've been going down memory lane. I mean, 25 years is a long time. Some of you have really gotten old, you know, while I've been here. And so I think last week I talked about the wreck that we had right after we got here, which was the first part of July, and then just all kind of our kids, raising our kids here, and it's just amazing. And now we've gone from, we came here, we had teenagers, we had four teenagers. I think Andy was fixing to go to Auburn, not Auburn, I'm sorry, was just to go to Sanford, and Leah was a year or two away from going to Auburn. And now we went from there to have eight grandchildren. That's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, so I didn't do this. I didn't plan this. But also, besides my preaching Bible that y'all had rebound for me years ago, which is, well, I don't use it anymore because it's the New King James, and it's smaller print. You understand that? So this is a Bible that I used when I first got here. And I can remember I used this on Wednesday night. Now, it's King James. It's not New King James. But I did use it when I first came here. And funny enough, I was looking through my Bibles this week, and this was sitting in the flap of this Bible. By the way, when I got saved, I was 16, and one of our college and career guys, he was probably 5 years older than me, bought me this Bible. And it's indexed, if you know what index means. Because I was a new Christian, I didn't know how to find the book of Job, or Job, as I would call it. And so I remember that. But inside the leaf, the cover of that, was this is a Wednesday night body life from June 13th, 1999. So I had been coming here a month when this was printed. I didn't even know I had it. So, and I was looking through all this. 25, you don't really care, do you? Okay, that could be, is there something wrong with me? Okay, so I was looking, and I was trying to see names I recognized. Okay, and I mean, I do recognize several names, but they're deceased, right? And But as far as, more than likely, you're not on here. I'm just saying this is old. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, I thought that was very, very interesting. Your Bible's open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We kind of skirted on this last Sunday. Mamas, I'm sorry. I'm not necessarily preaching a Mother's Day sermon. We're staying in the text of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We did skip chapter 5. I will come back to that. That's some household codes. It talks about church life, but also family church life, especially with widows. Who are widows? Who the church is going to... If the church needs to take care of somebody financially, physically take care of their needs, there's some requirements, and that's what chapter 5 primarily deals with, and the responsibilities that the church has, the leaders have, but also the covenant that people make if the church is going to help support their physical needs. We'll get back to that later. But I'm in chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then just make just two or three comments, okay, this morning. I can remember reading about one of my favorite Old Testament passages is when David shows up on the battle lines. He went there obeying his father. He was taking provisions to his brothers who were on the front line. He was a shepherd. He was back home helping his dad. So they send David up to the front lines, and you know the story. He gets up there, and what does he hear? He hears Goliath cursing his God both morning and night. And David got fed up with that, and he made a statement. And I'm saying this to you. He said, I'm ready to go to battle. Give me a sword, I'm ready. And he says, this is New King James says this, is there not a cause? So what I want to ask you as believers living as strangers and aliens in this world, is there not a cause? Is there not? There is a cause. And it's a war, and we better get ready and prepared to do warfare in an evil and fallen world. So I also think about, I've been reading the Gospels, and I'm in the Synoptics, and I'm reading the events of the garden, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. You know, this is right before the cross. And he took three of the disciples with him, and he said, you pray here, and I'm going to go further. And he prayed, right? Do you remember what the other three did? Fell asleep. And this is what Jesus said to them. Are you asleep again? Three times. So that third time Jesus says, are you sleeping again? And I think that applies to us as believers. For some reason, biblical Christianity, the hard truth is something we don't want anymore. We have accepted easy believism, honestly. You read 1 Timothy chapter 6, easy believism is not in the New Testament, and it's certainly isn't what Paul writes about as far as the Christian life in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading God's Word. Let all who are under a yoke of bond yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. And we finished here last week. Those who have believing masters, so we need to be good employees, this is what the text is saying. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers in Christ. So often we work with brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe they're our boss, but because we know they're believers, we go to church with them, they're brothers in Christ, we think we can get away with not being the best employee, and they're still going to treat us well. He says, don't do that. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. So rather than being a sluggard at work, you want to do even more because the person that's benefiting is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to God's Word. I mentioned to you numerous times, 15 times, you have the word teach or either the root word or a combination of the word teach is mentioned 15 times doctrine is mentioned in 1 Timothy. Sound words. The Word of God is mentioned numerous times. Twice Paul says, keep sound words. And the word sound is our English word hygiene. And his implications in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is anything outside of God's Word will cause disease, spiritual disease. As a matter of fact, one time he compares false teaching to cancer. He uses our word gangrene. So there's healthy words. Those healthy words that are going to raise boys and girls in the nurture and avenue, they're going to be found in this book. They're not going to be found anywhere else. I love when you're reading the life of Christ in the Gospels. The first words that the Bible records that Jesus said, now these aren't the first words Jesus ever said, but in his public ministry, the Bible records Christ's first words. It's interesting to me what they are. Jesus said the first thing that's ever recorded about him saying something is, it is written. He referred to Scripture. And you know the scene, Matthew 4, temptation. It is written. When what we read about dedication, why did Mary and Joseph come to the temple? Well, it's because the Bible said so. Why did they bring two turtle doves? Because that's what the Bible said do. Are we the same kind of believers? Do you know how hard it was for them 40 days, well, really 8 days after, but 40 days to go back to Jerusalem? But the Bible says so. Sometimes Christianity is a little inconvenient to our worldly living. Well, this is what the Word says. If anyone teaches, I'm going to have to get some water. I'm so sorry. Y'all know I do this every Sunday. It's from, and I tell people this, I'll make excuses. It's from having neck surgery a bunch of times. They told me this is going to happen. And I know you hope it happens every Sunday. My wife especially. I've been given the 11th commandment. I was given to it last night. Finish early, it's Mother's Day. I may break that one. Who said amen over there? I may break that one. I'm sorry. I promise you, I'm aware of the time. I had a friend of mine, you know, I told you about Mama Sue. I've been very reflecting on my life because my pastor's wife, who I was very close to when I was saved, her family like adopted me. She died a couple weeks ago and they did her graveside. Matter of fact, last Sunday when I had my dedication, my little tea. And so I sent her son a text a couple of days ago, and we were best friends, and his name's Ken Wilson. And I told Ken that, I mean, my mom's been, you know, you walked through the death of my mom with me in 2004, and it's been a long time, been 20 years. But I still miss Mama, right? There's only one person on this earth that actually believed I was perfect to some degree. It was my mama. She knew I wasn't, but she treated me like I was. And so I was telling Ken, you know, and it's tough. I mean, his mom's only been dead a few weeks. I mean, it's tough. There's nothing like mother's love. You know what I'm talking about. Nothing like it. So happy Mother's Day, moms. You'll leave a living heritage. Many of you are having to raise your children by yourself in faith living. That's not easy to do. Here's God's Word. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, so if they don't agree with biblical truth, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. So when it comes to, now we're talking about, this is a pastoral epistle, so when it comes about church life, if people want to banter about opinions, well, see, it's not about man's opinion. It's about the clear teaching of Scripture. If they do that, they're puffed up with conceit and understand nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels. That's an interesting word. Look it up yourself. Quarrels about words which produce envy, dissensions, slander, and evil suspicions. you've ever heard of the word diatribe, you find that word diatribe in that text. In constant friction, that's the thing. So all this opinion and controversies and yik-yakking cause constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. And then Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember I mentioned last Sunday, or I have mentioned it before, that the word godliness does not appear in the New Testament until you get to the book of 1 Timothy. And I think it appears, 14 or 15 times in 1 Timothy, and then a few in 2 Timothy, and a few in Titus. But godliness, living like the Father, God the Father wants you to live godliness. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Think about that. We brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now here's a misquoted verse. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's not the only. Okay? Not all evils, but of evil. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Paul said this about Demas. If you read the prison epistles and you read Paul's early writings, he mentions Demas being a faithful disciple. But you get to 2 Timothy and he says, Demas has left me, having loved this present world. So all of us, no matter where we are in our faith, can get called up and bail out of where we should be in the Christian life. But really, verse 11 and following are really where I want to focus on just for the next 5 or 10 minutes. So he's described these heretics. Really, they were heretics. They were depraved. He mentioned the word depravity. They were depraved. They were deprived of biblical truth, and so they were acting unbiblical and foolish. So it's kind of against that backdrop in teaching sound doctrine compared to that, that the Apostle Paul says this, but as for you, O man of God. Now, I know it's Mother's Day. And I know that the context, I mean, obviously, any Bible student reading this can say, well, Paul is specifically talking to who? Timothy, right? But is not these scriptures applicable to every believer? And yes, the Bible says they are. But Paul says to Timothy, but as for you, he's contrasting. And of course, what he's going to call Timothy to be focused on God's Word. So, for the sake of time, let me just stop here and let's just look at the next couple of verses specifically, and then we'll come back to this next Sunday morning. He says in verse 11, but as for you, O man of God. By the way, that only appears a few times in the New Testament, but it appears 70 times in the Old Testament. Primarily, men of God. I've been here 25 years and I've never preached on this necessarily, but in the Old Testament, the man of God was those that handled God's Word or communicated God's Word to the people. Moses was the first one to be called the man of God. And so all throughout in the prophetic writings, the prophets, Moses, and others, were those that handled and taught God's people were called men of God. If you're looking at the doctrine of man, the word man here is anthropos. Really, it applies to all of mankind. This is how we can be men and women of God. So he's going to tell us three or four things that are very important for the man of God. I was reading one of the interesting stories I've ever read in the Bible, and I'll share this with you, and then we'll look at these two verses real quick, was in 2 Kings, maybe 1 Kings. It's in Kings, I know that. This is where Elijah was going to be caught up in the whirlwind, okay? Chariots of fire, whirlwind, right? And he knew that. He knew he was going to be caught up. It's interesting. And Elisha was going to take his place. And so he's caught up in the whirlwind, and now the banner has been handed to Elisha. And if you read about Elijah was a very hairy, as in hairy, was a very hairy man. It mentions that more than once in the writings of the scriptures that Elijah was hairy. Okay, I like Elijah because yeah. So, but see, I'm both. But Elisha was what? Bald. So when Elijah was gonna first, he had taken the mantle of responsibilities from Elijah, and Elijah had done some incredible things at Jericho, made their water turn fresh, all some incredible things. So Elisha now is going to take his responsibility. And so 42 smart aleck young adult men started taunting him. And you know what they called him? Robbie, you can get, they called him Baldy. Now, the historical part, you got more hair than me, I know. But just I'm not going to get into all, there's tons of reasons why. One of them would be physically, he looked so different from Elijah. So as the man of God, these smart alecks, 42 of them, 42, started saying, Baldy, you old bald man, Baldy. And it's what it says, you can read it. And do you remember what Elisha did? Now, it says he cursed him. It's not like he used a bunch of profanity. It says he cursed him in the name of the Lord, right? And then what did he do? Somehow or another, he summoned two she-bears. That's mothers, a mother bear. He summoned two she-bears. And you know what those two she-bears did? Took care of those 42. You can read it for yourself. It's an interesting thing. So I've always found that to be an interesting illustration of God protecting God's preacher. But I just want you to notice there's four things here that I want you to notice about a man of God or a woman of God, let's say. It doesn't matter. It applies to all of us. But as for you, O man of God, he's going to mention four things, okay? First is he says, flee these things. Now, obviously, the things that he just mentioned, let's just say would be false doctrine, right? Would you say that? Some of the things would be false doctrine, would be gossip, would be some of the things that, you know, if you go back and read chapter 6, that he says flee. Now, the word flee is our English word fugitive. Fuego is the Greek word, but we translate it fugitive. So there are certain things as a Christian that we don't, like if somebody's standing around yik-yakking, either we need to, you know, saying wrong things, God, whatever, talking false doctrine, either we need to confront them or we don't need to be a part of it. So we don't need to hang around people that are yakking and talking about false doctrine. So the class that y'all taught was about that, about discerning the truth. And so God's people, people who want to be Christ-like, godly, whatever, true disciples, whatever term you'd like to use, you can recognize them by basically who they're hanging around. So there are certain people that we might flee from. Look what he says. So he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. So, and there's more things. We could go back in chapter 4. We can find several other things that you would flee from. But false doctrine, rhetoric, heresy, pursuing money, all flee from. That's what we flee from. But then he says, But pursue, or for the sake of my outline, I'm using the word follow. So flee these things, right? You with me? Still in verse 11. But pursue or follow. Look what he says, follow. Now, folks, we can read this. We can read this. Reading it and even in my mind, agreeing with it, doesn't make it happen. Okay? Folks, you don't become a disciple of Jesus. You don't become mature in your faith by chance. It just doesn't happen by chance. God has a design of how men and women, boys and girls, young men and young women grow in the faith. The Bible talks about this. And so we flee from some things, but then he says, but pursue or to follow. Look what he says, follow. Righteousness. Rightness is kind of rightness in people's eyes. Godliness. I think the righteousness is more of the public part of your life, but godliness, the spiritual. Faith, and the word faith is, you know, we do walk by faith and not by sight. It is part of that. But most of the time in the epistles, when Paul says faith, he's talking about this whole thing that we believe, okay? This whole body of faith, this doctrine, this truth that we cherish because it's true. Because we believe the Bible, let me just say, this is chasing a rabbit, but, I mean, It should interest you what's going on with Israel. If you believe the Bible, it should interest you anytime something's going on with Israel, because the Bible tells us this in the last days. Well, I need to finish. So he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee certain things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness. The word I love is perseverance. It's the word that means keep on, keeping on. I love that definition of steadfastness or of perseverance. Keep on, keeping on. Many of us know people that haven't done that. So righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. So here's two things already. He says flee certain things, follow certain things, and then verse 12 uses another F. Fight. Fight. It's our English word agonize, okay, and it could be used in the context of the New Testament. It could be used of boxing. It could be used of wrestling. It could be used of running a race. It wasn't just exclusive to boxing or to wrestling. It was a common word for an athletic event. But fight. Now, for these believers, just think for a minute. We'll finish. We'll stop at the third one. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And then look what it says, take hold of eternal life. Folks, the side that we're on is for eternity. He argues, even in this last chapter, about what we do now reaps benefits for eternity, but it affects what we're going to be doing when Jesus reigns on the earth. He says that in chapter 6. But what are we fighting for? And why would this be such an important thing for the Ephesians? That's where Timothy was. He was at Ephesus. Timothy's the pastor. Because remember what Paul had already written to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6. After he talked about fathers and bringing your children up, he tells all Christians to do what? Put on the what? Whole armor of God. And he talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And then he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, go back and read that, and are we wearing the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the word breastplate, the word, the cardia, it's the word heart. Literally, the word, the Greek word, is heart protector. Isn't that awesome for a breastplate? So we're to have a heart protector, which is God's word, and the Spirit is our heart protector. To put on the breastplate of righteousness, so holiness and being among God's people and living the Christian life is a heart protector. So we put these things on. because we're in a battle. But again, y'all have heard me say this, and this, I've been here 25 years, I do repeat myself. The only offensive weapon is the Word of God. So I said, the sword of the Spirit. All the other ones are defensive. And there's no armor on the back, which tells me, as far as faith living, you're moving. You're doing the battle. There's a battle ahead of us, and that's we're fighting this good fight of faith. So there's three things about godliness that matter. It's what we flee from, what we follow after, and what we fight for. Next Sunday we'll pick up with the fourth and we'll finish 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's stand together for prayer. I want to read to you, we stand together for prayer. Oh no, Dale, you want to come? I'm going to let you close in prayer. While Dale's coming, I almost forgot that, Dale. Let me read you. You're standing. It's okay. We're almost on time. It's 11:30-ish. Listen to the words. Come on up here, Dale. It says, you might want to get that microphone so people can hear. Jesus said, this is the song we just sang. Listen to the words. Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to Him. No one else can satisfy. I should come to Him. Jesus said if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can give me strength. I should come. In that song, and it's true. I should always be coming to who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Yours, Dale. You take care of it.
All right, come on down, Brian.